Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. We've talked about Chris Sale and his abbreviated start last night. We knew it was going to be short anyway.
It sure was. Kind of stunk, his words.
Yeah,
also mine.
And we knew that. And, yeah. You know, we knew. And in a best case scenario, it was going to go 40 pitches or, as he said, three innings. If he had less than 40 pitches, the most important thing was, did he come out of it? You said it.
How does it feel today?
Did he come out of it feeling good? Yeah. He sounded it last night. I understand the next day is when things change. And
right, TBD. Because I think even after he made that start against, what was it, Baltimore, I think he said he felt fine. And then what happened? Right back on the DL. So you got to wait and see.
So we've been talking a little bit about that and, you know, the bullpen issues, which has got a lot of people afraid he's scared. I mean, let's be honest.
It's not a great bullpen. Now, maybe it's been a little overstated at times because I don't know how many teams it's different.
It's going to be different.
Yeah, and we've seen guys kind of go on hot streaks, right? Like Joe Kelly, we've seen highs and lows from Joe Kelly. And then Ryan Brazier, like, are you ready to buy in or am I ready to buy in on Ryan Brazier? Like, yeah, he's pitched well. His numbers on the season are really good. But then at the same time, he's a 30-year-old rookie. Who was pitching in Japan last year? Like, where has he been? What's going on? I know he's got a 1.65 ERA. He got four outs. He actually got the win yesterday as well. See, he's been really good, but that's the guy. Like, he's the setup man.
But what you find is, you aren't saying it, but I've heard is he's been really good, but he won't be in October.
Well, you have no way of knowing that. But it's like, is that the guy that you're going to be? You know, put all your support behind? Because then what if he does get shelled? Are we supposed to be shocked? Are we supposed to be like, oh my God, how did Ryan Brazier didn't lock the game down in the eighth inning? He's the guy that we all had faith in. So I'm not there yet, but you got to give him a lot of credit for the season that he's had.
Let's get back to the calls with you guys. Arthur's in New Hampshire. Hey, Arthur.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Arthur, how are you?
I wanted to follow up on the caller who's, you know, you don't get your bang for your buck with starting pitching now. Obviously, what you said, Dale, it does make sense. It is an investment, so you have to. So regular season, no problem with these guys pitching five, six innings to save them. It's a long season. It's a marathon. But October, that mindset changes. Yeah, you got Porcello in 5-2. Don't take him out in the fifth. Take him out in the seventh. Isn't it his game to lose?
I don't believe they would take him out 5-2 in the fifth.
No. It's all about the playoffs. So if those guys are still, you know, mowing guys down, or if you feel like they're the better option than the bullpen, which chances are they should be, then, yeah, the plan is for all those guys to pitch really deep into the games in October.
Now, when you say, you know, managing pitchers doesn't go out the window in October, that doesn't mean you're going to let Chris Sale go out there and throw 135 pitches. You're not going to do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, unless you're in the World Series.
Unless it's game seven of the World Series. Yeah, I'm with you, because you also have to worry about the, you know, Chris Sale's going to pitch another time in the ALDS and then another start in the ALCS. But, no, I would hope, and it would be a good sign. Like, if Price or Sale have a 120-pitch performance in the playoffs, that means they probably won eight innings. So
right,
that's a really – and that means they were pitching well, because that would be a great sign. But, no, you want to make sure – I think last year is a great example. You know, Chris Sale led the American League in innings – had the 300 strikeouts, which they threw a parade for themselves. And then playoff time, he didn't look anything. He did not look like Chris Sale at all. And I think that had a lot to do with how much he pitched during the regular season.
Keith's also in New Hampshire. Hey, Keith.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, listen, I was listening to everybody talk, and it kind of changed my thinking a little bit. This Red Sox team has been dominating. They've done everything that they've done this season. And listen to us talk about how bad the bullpen has been, how scary it is, and how good their record is. I mean, I have never experienced anything like this before in my life. I've never seen another team in baseball be like this. Usually the team that's dominating all season is because of the bullpen. Because right now, the way I feel, we could be up. I don't care what Sale does or Price does or anybody does during the playoffs. if we have the bullpen come in the seventh inning and we're up 4 or 5 runs, I don't have a warm and fuzzy feeling that game is over when we should. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying there, because the bullpen, even when some of these guys have gone on good stretches, you still feel like they could let you down. And I think a big part of that is, and I know a lot of people have gone through the numbers, you know, you look at what
I can tell you that there are 5 teams in the major leagues,
yeah,
who have a better bullpen ERA than the Red Sox.
But if you take the Red Sox bullpen and put them up against Houston, New York, and Cleveland, it's a lot different.
Cleveland's is worse.
No. I'm saying when they face those teams.
Right.
Is my point. So the Red Sox, like their bullpen ERA against Baltimore is probably like 0 or, you know, whatever it is. Like they
but
dominate
in the same
bad
way
teams.
The Yankees bullpen ERA against Baltimore is probably 0 as well.
It is. It's different. And that's why I think, you know, Houston, that would be an interesting series, because I don't love their bullpen either, and neither do they. Cleveland, I think, is the one team that definitely has that advantage. New York has a good bullpen too, but it's Cleveland's bullpen that probably, when you're stacking them up head to head, because their season ERA is not very good, but Andrew Miller's missed a bunch of games. They didn't have Brad Hand and Simber for all season long. So now that they have those guys, that's a really good bullpen. It's how do they do, like, they mop up the bad teams. That's what they do. And that's great. They should. But the good teams, it's a lot tougher, and that's what you're going to face in the playoffs, obviously.
It's been kind of an amazing thing, though, throughout the course of the summer, as the Red Sox have basically laid waste to the American League.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, they've just demolished the American League, and all summer long, all I've heard is people bitching about, yeah, but they're going to suck in October.
Well, the last two years are going to do that to you,
but
I think.
But it's like, no matter what you're watching, right. I don't care, the bullpen's going to blow it anyway.
But that is sort of the... They have joined the Patriots as far as expectations are concerned, where regular season, it's nice, but you assume they're going to make the playoffs. And they've set that bar for themselves. Like, they, even last year, people didn't, I don't think, love the team the last couple of years, but they were good enough to win the division. And then the playoffs, I mean, before you could even sit down, they're out. And so that's still on everybody's mind.
But the team that you've watched this season.
Yeah.
You feel, I certainly feel, is clearly better than the teams the last 2 years that I've seen.
Yes, I mean, I agree that.
They're
yeah.
a much better
I mean,
J.D.
Martinez, I mean, it's as simple as
Mookie
that.
Mookie Betts is the MVP.
Yeah, although 2 years ago, he probably should have been the MVP. You know, last year, he was good, but he wasn't as great. But you have, yeah, I think the team is better this year. But I also think Houston and Cleveland, they're not going to have the wildly impressive win totals at the end of the year. But I think in a 5 or 7-game series, they're just as good. Like, they could run away. The Red Sox could win 112 games and just run away with, you know, the best regular season record for this year. And then you get into a play. And it might be a pick'em series in the ALDS. Like, that's just how good I think those other teams are.
The other thing, and it's all part of it, obviously, is the Red Sox offensively have beat the crap out of other teams' bullpens all year long, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they definitely have. You know, you look at some of the numbers that some of these guys have. You know, second, third time in the lineup and whatever else, like late in games. Like, their stats are off the charts in a number of different hitting stats. And it's they're getting it from everywhere. You have the two MVP candidates, obviously, but kind of lost in that is the season that Bogarts is having, you know, the season that Benintendi is having. So they're scoring runs. Doesn't matter what starters, bullpen, whoever.
Xander Bogarts is having the best year of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, by a pretty fair chunk.
Under the radar. It's completely under the radar.
Andrew Benintendi's hitting .293.
Yeah.
I mean, Xander Bogarts is hitting .289 with 93 runs batted in. I mean, everybody.
Yeah, he's going to get to 100, yeah.
Everybody talks about, obviously, the two big guns. They talk about Betts and Martinez because they've been unbelievable. But as a team, they're better than people understand.
I mean,
some of these other guys outside of those two.
Right. No, they are. And they're getting contributions from other spots. But then it comes down to pitching. Because you get the sense, though, that the pitchers are going to have a little bit more wiggle room this time around than the last couple of years in the playoffs. Like, last year, the pitchers let them down, but hitting got kind of let off the hook. Like, it wasn't like they were smashing the ball the last couple of years. So that's what they're going to have to do differently. The guys in the lineup, they're going to have to put up runs against really good pitching, because that's what Cleveland and Houston have as well. They have their starters anyway are, I would say, even better than what the Red Sox have to offer.
OPS plus, obviously, 100 is average. Anything above 100, you're better than the rest of the major leagues. five of their nine regular starters are above 100 in OPS plus. Five of their nine. Now, you know, Martinez and Betts are off the charts. Betts is 182.
It's kind
Martinez
of a nerd is stat, 173. I feel like,
yeah, but
OPS plus.
But I like it a lot because okay. It just shows you've got Bogarts at 135, Benintendi at 128, All-Star Mitch Moreland at 106, by the way, Keith.
How's he doing recently? How's your guy Mitch doing?
Probably not as good recently.
No, he has really kind of tapered off, but that's to be expected. And we'll see. You know, when they face lefties in the playoffs, I bet you won't even see Mitch Moreland. Like, that's why you brought Steve Pearson. You know, Steve Pearce can hit lefties.
By the way, Steve Pearce's OPS plus is 151.
Yeah, and what was the stat last night they showed? I think since he's joined the Red Sox, he has like the fourth best OPS against lefties, like in the majors.
Yep.
Like, so he is a specialty item, and he has been really good at that, and that's what I assume he'll do in the playoffs.
617-779-7937. Jim's in Newburyport. Hey, Jim.
Hey, I'm going to be satisfied. Well, probably not. A lot of people will feel the same way. But even if they get knocked out, and even if they get knocked out early, nine of the teams in the playoffs fail. They've had a good year. Each team has their flaws, and you know.
So they lose in the
face a good team.
If they lose in the first round of the playoffs, you're going to say, "Ah, good year."
You know what? So many times, baseball playoffs is whoever gets hot. You know, it's not always the best team. You know, it could be the Angels in the past, or the Twins just get hot at the right time. And Keith, I want to just scold you just a little bit,
please.
You know, yesterday you guys railed on a guy who came with an unpopular position,
yeah.
And you know, kind
of like yours.
Yeah, we can't make fun of, you know, minority groups with certain voices.
Whoa! I made fun of minority groups?
No.
Oh. Then why would you say that right now? That's what you're implying that I did.
No. You didn't. I'm not implying anything. You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
But there's one group that it's all right to make fun of, and that's, you know, white males or something. You can't make fun of women. You
okay.
can't make fun of Asians, or, you know, try and imitate voices. But it's all right to say that groups of Southern men, although some Southern men have viewpoints that we don't agree with, you know what, please in the future, just, you know, say it's unacceptable to.
I for sure can't promise you anything, Jim. I'll be honest.
Well, you know, I understand that.
Yeah, I can't. It's part of my charm.
White
I think.
Males,
yeah.
White males. Are not open. Should not be fair game.
It's open season. It's open season on white males.
I understand. I understand. You know what?
And some people love my Southern accent. They love it.
Yeah,
people listen for it, Jim. If I took the Southern accent away, what would we even have here? Half a show, you know?
My opinion.
Okay.
I'm sharing my opinion.
All right.
Thank you guys. Have
a good day. You're the same guy that says if they lose in the first round, you wouldn't be upset.
Yeah, I will disagree with Jim's. No, I won't disagree with anything Jim said. No, I'm kidding.
spot on.
Yeah,
I think fans would lose their minds.
Red Sox Nation is not going to be pleased.
3 years in a row,
if they lose to the Houston Astros and say, "Oh yeah, but Houston's really good," so are the Red Sox.
Can't do it.
The Red Sox are really good. They're supposed to win,
and they're going to face the wild card team. Right, the way things are going, like unless like they lose out or whatever it is, they're going to face the wild card team. So it shouldn't be Houston or Cleveland.
It's
going to be New York or Oakland, right? And so they need to win that series. Like that's the whole idea. Like you can't say, "Hey, good year, 112 wins. You guys are the best." That's not the thing. Now, if you want to take it a step further, and if they end up losing in the ALCS in a hard-fought series, because I think it also matters how
losing
the series goes.
Losing seven to the Astros in the ALCS or something.
I'm not going to lose my mind. That's a really good team, right? Like that, they have the chance to become sort of a dynasty, you know, the Houston Astros do. But there's a big difference because you're not going to have to face them. Again, barring some crazy shift in the standings over the next 3 weeks, you're not going to have to face the Astros in the first round. So if no one's sitting here saying World Series are bust.
No.
Right? Like that's unfair.
Although I think expectations are starting to change for some folks out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already, you know, the first team in baseball to clinch a playoff spot. They will likely win their 100th game tonight. They will likely set a franchise record for wins in a season.
Right.
I don't think they'll set the league record. They won't do that.
What is the league record again?
Like 116.
Yeah, okay.
They'd have to win 16 of the last 17 games or something.
Hey, it could happen. They get hot.
Probably not. Okay. But I think they'll set the franchise record for wins.
Yeah.
And so I do think the expectations have changed. Now, for some folks, it's, oh, it doesn't matter. They're going to suck in October anyway. So they have no expectations.
Yeah.
They won't be disappointed because they think they're going to lose anyway.
No, but the way this team is built, and then not even to get into how they're set up going forward. Like, so Craig Kimbrell is a free agent. You know, David Price, I know he said he's not going to opt out, but he could opt out. Chris Sale is a free agent after next year. JD Martinez could opt out after next year. So all of a sudden, like, you want to focus on this season.
I think Dave Dombrowski's going to be a little busy this offseason.
Yeah, there is a lot happening. And then down the road, now you don't have to freak out about it yet, but down the road, you got to make a big decision on Mookie Betts. And by you, I mean he also has to make that same decision.
Yeah, I think your decision
is easy. I
know
what yours is. Yeah, right, exactly. But Bogart. And so now all of a sudden this season becomes even more important. So I don't think a lot of people speak for Jim that have that attitude that, hey, whatever, I'm enjoying the games and they're fun. And I like the regular season games. They're super fun. I don't think that's what people think. I think it's you got to win in the playoffs. And this year or two, let's say, so 2020, for example, the roster could look significantly different.
In a bad way.
Yeah. So you want to capitalize on this season. You have to.
And I think they feel that as well, by the way. I don't think they're sitting there, even in the quiet behind closed doors, saying, ah, you know what, we've had a hell of a year.
If we get bounced, you know. Alex Cora was asked about the wins record, right? He's like, I could care less about that. I think there was an interview with Joey Cora. I don't know if it was Bradford or who did it. They're talking to Joey Cora about Alex and like all the wins that he has. He's like, Alex doesn't care about those. Like the regular season wins, he could care less, especially coming from a team last year that ended up winning the whole thing. So we know what their goals are. David Price told Brad Foe about the same thing. Like, you could have the best regular season ever, but what does it really matter?
He says, I could go 35-0 in the regular season with a 0 ERA, and it wouldn't matter.
It's like somebody,
I need to win in October. That's that. Regular season means nothing for me.
It's like somebody switched places with Price. It was like a body switch movie.
All of a sudden, this is your guy.
Bad body switch movie, and somebody's jumped in there and said the right thing. That's exactly what you wanted to hear from Price.
I do think that it started that day.
With us, with Rockhold. We had a major breakthrough. Yeah.
Because he left the room, and I said, that's the most human I've ever heard this guy.
He took a photo with us.
He did, and a smiling photo.
Yeah, he was happy to be in the picture.
That's
pretty good.
Brock was there.
I think it definitely helped that Brock Holt was a part of that interview. Probably wouldn't have gone the same.
Probably everything had to do with Brock Holt being there, huh?
Yeah, that's fine. They're both welcome on the show anytime. If the two of them want
to
do
it. Even together.
Fine. Don't care. We got plenty of microphones in here. If they want to both come down to the studio, that'd be great. Maybe right before the playoffs. That might help Price a lot. Right before the playoffs? Sort of get some of that playoff stank off of him that he's had?
I don't know that I'd use that phrase when he comes in.
I wouldn't say that to him. But
Dave, want to get some of that stank off you?
It's been a mess in the playoffs for you, Dave. But he knows that. And so hopefully, you know. And don't you get the sense, too, with a lot of these great players that struggle in the playoffs and then eventually get over that, after that first one, you're not freaking out about it anymore. Like, wasn't Kershaw one of those guys that he also sucked in the playoffs for a while, and then he didn't? And then, you know, A-Rod
was
terrible.
Remember when Roger Clemens couldn't beat Dave Stewart?
Yeah, like,
I mean, he couldn't beat him.
Couldn't do it.
Got himself tossed out of a game at one point early on because he just lost his mind.
So, but then once you get that first win, and for Price, I know he has the two relief wins, but if he pitches 7 innings, 1 run, 8 strikeouts, team wins the
game. Hands the ball to Steven Wright in the 8th.
No, let's not do that. Brian Brazier, our guy.
Brazier,
then to Kimbrell, and you win the game. Like, I would think from there, it might be smooth sailing.
That's the idea.
And let's hope.
Rocking the midday with Dan Arnold.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
And Rich Keefe.
I'm talking when I'm talking!
What you say, who you say it to. On WEEI.
Back in February, there was a great piece that ran on ESPN. It was written by Mike Sando. It ran on February 6th. And Mike Sando did an in-depth breakdown of the Bill Belichick coaching tree. Some with weak ties to Belichick, like Al Groh, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, he only spent 1 year on Belichick's Browns staff, became the Jets coach when Belichick resigned after a day and all that. But he's got everybody, including Al Groh. Al Groh's the only guy, by the way, with a record above 500.
Yeah, if you want to count him. I mean, I think of them more as peers than like him working for him, but yeah.
Bill O'Brien, 484. It's less than that now because he lost, you know, the opener here.
Right.
Eric Mangini, 23-25.
Oof.
Nick Saban, 15-17. We're talking about NFL now.
Yeah.
NFL
yeah,
right. only.
Yeah, okay.
Josh McDaniels, 11-17. Romeo Crennel, 24-40. Jim Schwartz, he worked as a scout under Belichick with the Browns. So, I mean, they put everybody. Jim Schwartz, 29-51.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz was like an intern or whatever, wasn't he, like back in the day?
Romeo Crennel, 4-15. The bottom line here is that the Bill Belichick coaching tree
is awful.
Kind of sucks.
Oh, it's terrible. And then, yeah, I mean, Charlie Weiss doesn't, he's not on there because it's just college.
Not the NFL, right.
He was good for a couple years at Notre Dame and then was terrible everywhere else. It was, I mean, awful everywhere else, even at the end at Notre Dame. So it's really, really bad. And Matt Patricia off to an 0-1 start.
Well, and that's what, evidently today on Good Morning Football, Mike Garofalo, I'm quoting him now.
Yeah, this is intense.
Up there in Detroit, Matt Patricia went really hard on these guys in camp. There was a lot of contact there. There's lots of harsh criticism from what I'm told. There's not a lot of, hey, good job. There's a lot of, hey, bad job, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, bleep.
What?
Well,
bleepity, bleepity,
it's radio.
Bleep, bleep.
I got to
fill in the blanks there?
Yeah, well, it's right. Radio.
Okay.
Matt Patricia's trying to establish some kind of a culture there. Veterans are not very happy. It's more about what Bill Belichick did in New England, and Matt Patricia wanted to take that to Detroit. Well, it's not working.
It's awful. I mean, they were so bad. It's only one game, so it's hard to completely freak out after one game. But Detroit is a pretty good team, and they're at home against the Jets, and they were terrible. It was one of the worst performances of the weekend. I think the Bills still take the cake because at least the Lions scored points. They scored touchdowns. But they were so bad. And there were also, you go back to preseason or training camp, and there were some murmurs. There were a couple of stories written like they don't really like Patricia, and Patricia's kind of a hard ass, and Patricia makes the guys work. They're running laps, like the conditioning was too hard or whatever.
One of the things he did was he said, you can't take photos in the locker room and post them on social media.
Yeah. Oh, what a taskmaster, huh?
I mean, it's like, you know what it is? It's trying to be the hard ass. Yeah. It's like the substitute teacher has to start really harsh at the beginning, and then can ease up as you go along.
But one thing I like about it is you saw him on the sidelines on Monday night, and it is still the beard, still the backwards hat. So he didn't
pencil over his ear.
Yeah, so I like that because that's who he is. So he didn't go cut off hoodie, right? He didn't like shave and try to look exactly like Belichick. He didn't do that. So he kept what was him, but it does not seem to be working for other teams because it's difficult. And I'm not saying he's going all in trying to be Belichick, but it's also tough to do that without the winning, right? Like, I don't think even Belichick, if you go back to
2001, the team sucked.
2000, 2001, Belichick was a little bit different than he is now. And so Patricia goes in there, and just because he was on those staffs doesn't mean, even though he was a defensive coordinator on a very successful team, he doesn't have that head coach pedigree. And he also must not have that relationship with the players. Like, if this is
Matt
already
Patricia, to be fair now, on his end, he's going to look at it and say, okay, well, who am I going to get that's going to buy in here, and do I have to jettison the guys who aren't? So just keep an eye on this situation here as it gets deeper into the season. If the things don't turn around on the field, just what you might be hearing from some of these veterans there.
So that's more from Mike Garofalo. But you know what that sounds exactly like? Josh McDaniels going to Denver and getting rid of Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall.
He goes 11-17 and gets fired after just 28 games as the
doesn't
head coach
finish the
of the Denver
season.
Broncos.
Right. And he goes in there, and obviously everybody highlights, you know, him drafting Tim Tebow, but it was the two best players, or two of the best players, I should say, on the team were Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall, and they must not have gotten along or whatever. He gets rid of both of those guys. What's that message? So I don't know who those guys are, but if you play out that scenario and Patricia says, oh, you know, Golden Tate, or like, I would be shocked if it was Stafford. They just gave him so much money. So I think that might be out of his hands.
Yeah, actually, but if it's, you know what? In that regard, some of these guys, when they got to their places where they were going, had bad teams and bad quarterbacks. Matt Patricia didn't.
No, he went
to
a
pretty
good spot.
Team and a pretty good quarterback. And is he trying to tear it down to the studs and start over?
See, this
when
is
you've
not,
got a better team than
yeah,
that.
It's not a rebuild. They were, what, 9-7 back-to-back years? So they were looking for a guy to sort of push them over the top.
Yeah.
They were in the playoffs 2 years ago. This isn't like if he was going to the Browns or the Colts or the 49ers even a couple of years ago. This isn't one of those scenarios. This is a team that is pretty built to go. So a slow start like this, he could be in real trouble. And so he faces Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners in San Francisco this Sunday. Then week three, we know it is Sunday Night Football against the Patriots. Then they got at Dallas, and then they have Green Bay before the bye week. I think Dallas kind of stinks. But you got New England and Green Bay before the bye week. I mean, they could easily be 1-4 at that point.
There are a number of reasons why coaches who leave here fail. Top of the list is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's the top of the list. Wherever you go, even if you've got Matt Stafford, you don't have that guy.
Right.
You're not going to get to do what Bill Belichick does. But the other thing is they stop being who they are. You know, they try to take the Belichick act out on the road, and it almost always fails on them.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. So we'll talk to Tommy Curran next hour, and I'm pretty sure he was not convinced that Patricia was going to be a good head coach. Like, he had made that kind of clear before, and he deals with them certainly more than you or I would. The coordinators don't talk a lot, but every once in a while they'll have their conference calls, and they'll do certain things. And I remember, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I believe Curran said, you know, that's not a slam dunk that he's going to go there and have a lot of success.
But yeah, now, by the way, when we're talking about the reaction in Detroit, we're not reacting that way. You should see what's being written in Detroit right now.
Oh, yeah, they are not happy.
You want to talk about overreaction second week of the NFL season, which happens a lot.
Yeah.
In Detroit, after one game, you've got people questioning whether they hired the right coach.
Does he make it through 2 years in Detroit?
Probably.
I think my warm take is no. Warm take Wednesday, Rossi. We're on a poppin' warm take Wednesday. Does not make it through two seasons.
I mean, Eric Mangini, when he went to Cleveland.
Yeah, how long he last?
32 games, two seasons.
Two full seasons.
Yep. It was a bathwater take.
Yeah. That's like an overreaction take. I don't even know how warm it is. It's just like an overreaction city because they were so bad in the first game. But I'm telling you, if he has issues with the players there, like, you're not on a terrible team. Like, you can't just get rid of all the players. That sounds like McDaniels 2.0. That's exactly what he's doing. That didn't work at all.
Well, and in Detroit, why do you have to get rid of all the players?
You
got
shouldn't.
A good team.
That's what I'm saying. But so Mike Garofalo is saying, well, if the guys don't buy in, he may jettison them and then bring them in. Well, guess what? There's 53 guys on the roster. Even if you get rid of three of them, bring in three more, the other 50 guys are going to look around and say, all right, now we're in. Like, oh, you just got rid of a guy that we like. Now we are totally bought in. And it could get ugly. I mean, between the Patriots and the Packers in the first month of the season.
The guy who has the worst record of the Patriots coaching tree is the guy who had the worst situation of all. Romeo Crennel.
In Cleveland.
He inherits Matt Cassel. He signs Brady Quinn in Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He takes over as interim coach after Todd Haley got fired. Then in 2012, his full season, he's got one of his linebackers commit suicide in the parking lot.
No, wasn't it in front of him?
Wasn't it? Yeah, but
Javon Belcher?
Yes,
wasn't it like right in front? Like, didn't he go to his office?
No, it was in the parking lot. Romeo Crennel was out there. I mean, you couldn't have had worse circumstances than Romeo Crennel had.
Romeo Crennel, believe it or not, went 10-6 with the Browns in 2007. Now, still his overall record is 28-55 because he got two chances at it. You know, he had that 4-year run with Cleveland, and then he had, you know, he was like the interim guy, and then one full season with the Chiefs where they went 2-14. But all these guys are great coordinators. Or are they? they're
on the staff with Belichick.
Like, could you or I be on the staff with Belichick and look like, oh, maybe that guy's going to be an NFL head coach one day?
Well, we always wonder how much delegation there is. We always wonder, you know, is Josh McDaniels this otherworldly offensive coordinator, or is it just Bill Belichick's offense and Tom Brady's his quarterback? So he's going to look really good.
But I do think there are examples of guys, and maybe the Patriots just have a bunch of them, that are good coordinators and are not good head coaches. Like,
never met a single player that hasn't raved about the football acumen, the meticulousness, the attention to detail, and the overall greatness of a football mind that is Bill Belichick. That's what players say. I don't hear them raving about that outside of New England, about other guys. When those other guys have been head coaches everywhere, Josh McDaniels in Denver too, I have never heard players raving about them the way that they rave about Belichick. So why is it that everybody leaves him and tries to go someplace else and be him?
Yeah, I mean, we've sort of hit on that, right? I mean, that's
it doesn't work.
You're not him, so you got to do something different. You have to be you do have to be yourself, I think, is part of it.
I mean, guys and like Eric Mangini and Josh McDaniels tried to sound like him.
But I think that was bad. And maybe Patricia's doing some of that as well. But there are a lot of guys in the league that are good coordinators and they're not good head coaches. Like, would you want Wade Phillips to be your head coach? No, you wouldn't. But do you want him to be your coordinator? Absolutely. Like, North Turner was another guy. You want North Turner as your head coach? So sometimes that's just not a skill set. Like, when you oversee everything, like, it's too much for some of these guys. Or they're just too specialized on one side of the football, and they just can't – there's just too much responsibility.
Now, in many of these instances, because it's usually what happens, the reason you get a new head coach is because your team sucks.
Right, more often than not.
But in Matt Patricia's case, that's not it.
No, he probably got one of the best
jobs.
They
had one of the walking zombies as a head coach.
Yeah, just sleeping on the sideline.
And so they had a decent team, decent quarterback.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, it was one game, but it was awful. Like, what a way to start. And maybe we'll look back on it, and Matt Patricia one day will be able to laugh and say, oh, yeah, the way it started, didn't think I was going to be this good, because remember that Monday Night Football game? Or you're out halfway through the second season because you're trying to trade away some of your good players because they don't like you because you're making them run laps. Like, that might be what it comes down to.
He also, again, according to Garofalo, training camp for the Lions was much more physical than most. They were hitting much more than
players
most.
Players today do not like that.
Well, it's like you're trying to establish yourself, I guess.
Oklahoma drills.
I'll show
right
you.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Where the veteran guys are going, really? What did Bill Belichick do here this summer? It was like summer camp.
They played cornhole at Fenway. That's what they did. They're the favorites to win the Super Bowl. You know, loosen up a little bit, Matt. Loosen up.
That's the problem.
Chill out.
Huh?
Relax.
Bill's in Framingham. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Dale, you stole some of my thunder.
Sorry.
Every coach that has left here that's gone on to be a head coach has been terrible. There's no question about that. And what I'm going to say is, Bill Belichick, when he got here, was terrible. They threw him out of Cleveland almost. They booed him out. His first 2 years here, he was terrible. It wasn't until Tom Brady took the field that now all of a sudden Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in history. It's Tom Brady that's made this team what it is today and continues to make this team.
Yeah,
he won a playoff game with the Browns.
Okay, he won the playoff game with the Browns.
He went 11-5 with Matt Cassel as his quarterback.
Yeah, pretty good.
He didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, but he went 11-5 with Matt Cassel. I mean, let's not take any credit away.
Okay, and Randy Moss was on that team also, so he chucked it up there, and Moss was great.
So you don't think Belichick's a good coach? Is that's what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying he's not a good coach.
Okay.
I'm just saying he's not the all-worldly coach. Without Tom Brady on that team, Bill Belichick would have been gone 10 years ago is what I'm saying. That's all. Thanks.
Well, it sort of flies in the face of going 11-5 with Matt Cassel, but...
Yeah, I think he might have been able to find a way to make it work. Although, to be fair, I mean, how many coaches are in one spot for 20 years? Like, it doesn't happen. Like, and how many quarterbacks are in one team for 20 years?
There is no doubt
they don't happen.
That Brady has made Belichick's job 1,000% easier.
And
absolutely.
Vice versa. Right.
If Josh McDaniels had been the head coach here for the last 20 years, I know he was a little young at the beginning, but I mean, imagine now.
Yeah.
Do you think the Patriots would have 5 Super Bowls in their back pocket?
I'm not sure anybody would be the head coach for 20 years.
If it was Josh McDaniels,
who was here
the whole time.
No, they probably don't. No, they don't have 5 Super Bowls.
Even with Brady,
no,
being here the whole time,
it's not even close to that. I don't think so.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, so don't just tease me. Tease everybody else out there now.
I'm going to tease everybody. Here we go. First of all, Mike Fisher is a Cowboys insider. He had a photo of Dez Bryant.
A real insider?
Well, if you say you're an insider in your Twitter bio, I assume you are the real deal. He works for 105.3 The Fan. I don't know if that's a sister station or not, but he is.
It is. That's a station that has our friend Jerry Jones on it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So yeah, sister station. So Mike Fisher tweets out a picture of Dez Bryant and Jerry Jones at the Beyonce Jay-Z concert on Tuesday at AT&T Stadium.
Okay.
Then Gavin Dawson, who works at that same station, a verified account. He hosts a show there.
Okay.
They're the home of the Cowboys, actually, as well, and the Rangers. He tweets this out. Dez and Jerry were hanging out, but a source tells me he was letting other people at the concert know he's probably going to New England. Hello.
Now.
Hello.
At the risk of being Debbie Downer
Dez
over here.
Dez to New England. Yeah,
is this just him wishful thinking? Because God knows he's been selling this thing like crazy here the last couple of weeks.
Is it Dez being wishful thinking?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, maybe. But he said he's probably going to New England. That's good enough for me, Dale. Should we go?
Or is that him making an assessment of, God, they signed Corey Coleman and Benny Fowler.
Benny Fowler.
Obviously, they're going to come calling on me next.
Fowler? Hey, should we send somebody down to Logan just to wait for flights to come in? Keep an eye on flights?
Or just take pictures of random people and say it's him?
Well, I guess you could do that, but I would rather get boots on the ground down there. Flights from Dallas, flights from, Texas, just in general.
Probably fly into Rhode Island, right?
Ooh. Can we send two people? One down there, one to just a Logan here.
I got two people here
Good.
With me. We'll split them.
Because, Dale, we're gonna be all over this. So thank you, Gavin Dawson. So we'll take it from here.
Do we believe that we know anything about these people? I mean, is this sort of...
They're verified. They're verified.
Well,
you know
wait
what that
a minute.
Means in a Twitter game.
At the risk of, picking the scab here.
Okay.
Is this like Ken Laird reporting that Rob Gronkowski's being traded and Pro Football Talk picking it up?
I don't know. Did he tweet that or did he just say it?
No, he tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
And
I don't know.
That's how Pro Football Talk picked it
up.
No,
because these guys...
He was obviously joking.
No, but these guys...
He was saying, breaking news.
Me first. The whole contract last year with incentives based on his personal performance. He's out there catching touchdowns in meaningless games and celebrating. This is everything Belichick does not want. After the Malcolm Butler thing, it's going to be even worse. He's going to put the fist down.
So you think he's dealing him?
He is dealing him.
He's dealing him.
In the next couple weeks, Gronk is gone. Gone.
Ken Laird's anti-Gronk spike? He says he doesn't like him celebrating? We know that Belichick does. We've asked Belichick about it. Oh, okay. All right, so meaningful games he can
actually
spike.
Belichick has said...
He loves the celebration.
Well,
he said
you should celebrate when you score.
Yeah. But hey, he was up... No, but these guys down in Dallas didn't do like the breaking colon, then the thing. So I don't think there's any kind of sarcasm here. But I could be wrong. We had a caller earlier today told me I needed to learn sarcasm, which I told him I would definitely get on to. But Gavin Dawson and Mike Fisher?
I don't,
sounds like he's going to New England, if you ask me, Dale.
I'm not familiar with their work, but...
I'm sorry, Dale. You don't listen to 105.3 The Fan in Dallas?
I don't believe I ever have. Have you?
No, but they probably haven't listened to us. But you think they're going to besmirch us that way? No, I think they'd give us the benefit of the doubt. They go, they host Dale and Keefe? They must be onto something, those guys.
I guess what I'm wondering here is, and again, I'm going to assume that he was actually telling people at the concert, I'm probably going to New England.
Probably going to New England.
Well, I'm wondering if that's based on
did New England tell him that?
Yeah, exactly. Or is this, because the way Dez has been going here in this offseason.
But this is good enough.
Wouldn't
I
be great with Brady?
Well, you know what's funny is Mike Giardi had a source with the Patriots who, as it relates to Dez Bryant, the phrase he used was, quote, probably not.
Right.
Now, there's an overlap there. Probably. So maybe Dez heard the wrong thing. Maybe they said, probably not, Dez. And he's like, what's that? You dropped off there. You say probably? Dez Bryant going to the Patriots. That's what we're trying to get at.
That's what you're reading.
That's what I'm gathering here.
When you look at that,
that's how I read those tweets. Yeah. How else would you read those tweets? Dez and Jerry were hanging out, but a source tells me he was letting other people at the concert know he's probably going to New England.
Can I ask another question that you won't like?
I'll answer it.
Why did they sign these two guys and not him this week?
Well, just for the week. I mean, why'd they sign Chad Hansen?
But just my point is, he said, I'm probably going to New England. Okay. Yeah. They could have done it this week. Contract's not guaranteed.
They're
just like it's
out,
not for these two.
Well, Fowler could be gone this afternoon. Like they're just ironing out the details here with Dez. But until that gets figured out, they got to have a couple more receivers, at least on the roster. That's all that is, Dale. They're just, you know,
is it
crossing
now?
Their T's, dotting their I's. Simple as that.
All right. I mean,
there's smoke here, though. There is serious smoke here.
I know you've been so desperately wanting this.
Yes. How excited will you be on a scale of 1 to 10 if Dez Bryant signs with the Pats?
I'm not quite as cranked up about him as you are.
Okay. What's the number?
So, like, 6, 7?
Six, 7's up. Look, he talked himself into 7 already.
It's a warm take.
That's a warm take. Well,
but you're at 11,
oh,
for God's sake.
Oh, my God, am I at 11?
Here's a question. Why is he and Jerry Jones hanging out?
Jay-Z, Beyonce.
So they just bring everybody together?
Yes. They're squashing beefs. No, they were at AT&T. So Dez Bryant probably still lives around there. Wanted to go to the concert. Jerry was there.
But isn't that weird? Like, that's your former boss who doesn't want you to be on his team anymore?
I don't think he has a huge problem with Jerry. I think he has a bigger problem with, like, Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott.
No, he said that, but isn't this, like, a weird situation?
It's a little strange. But, so, what would the other example of that be?
By the way, they've got a picture. Mike Fisher posted a picture of Dez sitting with Jerry at the concert.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what Gavin retweeted that from.
Right.
But, for example, do you think, could Malcolm Butler and Robert Kraft sit in a booth together and watch a concert? I bet they could. Yeah, see?
But Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones are two totally different types there.
They're both owners.
Yeah, but one's a GM as well.
Yeah, that's true. That is.
It's
really weird.
This is odd. But maybe he's just telling him, he's like, hey, I like this song, but by the way, I'm going to New England. Going to the Pats. What do you think of that?
Do you think it was during a Jay-Z song or a Beyonce song?
I bet one of the two together. Yeah.
Like a collab.
Probably a collab. That's what they say when they're both out there. How do they do that, by the way? Do they do, like, here's a Beyonce show, then a quick little overlap, and then a Jay-Z show? Or is it just, like, constantly switching?
It's constantly switching. I've looked at the set list before because they played here.
My head would absolutely spin.
Well, if you're into both of them, you'd be an 11 right there.
That's true. That would be a good concert to go to, I guess.
If you're into
that sort of thing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.